Praise God. Amen. So we will be learning quite a lot. I trust God today, tomorrow. We'll be learning a whole lot of things that would help us greatly. That would advance us greatly and inspire us greatly. I was saying some seconds ago that when you talk about spiritual growth, people just have this hey, so we're gonna grow spiritually, so we need to fast, we need to pray. Yes, prayer and fasting play great roles in spiritual growth, but spiritual growth is not all about prayer and fasting. In fact, if I may say, and I believe you would understand this point clearly, in fact, when it comes to prayer and fasting, very many times the prayers and the fastings are very subjective, very me focused, need focused, what I want from God focused, what I need from God focused. That's usually what it is. So prayer and fasting have roles, and we'll talk about that very likely tomorrow. But today we must lay the foundation. If not, we'll keep having in the body of Christ those things, that have been happening where people just assume, oh, because I'm growing spiritually, because I'm edifying myself spiritually, because I'm giving attention to, prayer and fasting alone, then I'm gonna grow. But check. You could check for yourself, just run a quick check. So the things you fast and pray about, what are they? 90% of the time, they're all about needs. All right. It is not wrong. All right. But 90% of the time, they're all about needs. They're all about what I want God to do for me, how I want God to do it for me, the way I want God to do it for me. Those are things we end up focusing on. And then you and I have got to, switch that trajectory, change that trajectory, and then just roll up. So here, so welcome once again. All right. Two word up because we will be, diving straight into this simple revelation of God's word. So we're going to begin from 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23. So if you're there, you could, all right. I believe you have your Bibles, your papers, your writing materials with you. I know also that you might be streaming from your phone and your Bibles might be on your phone. So we'll endeavor to make certain scriptures, available as much as we can. I have, Gabriel on the media side. So, we'll be able to make this available as best as we can so that you could follow, especially, those verses that, we might want to check in other Bible versions, other Bible translations, and we're like, okay, so let's check. Let's see, what's up here, what the Bible says there. Let's just check it. All right. So great. Praise God. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the 23rd verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Paul is saying, all right, that I pray that God will keep you holy and that God will sanctify your whole spirit and soul and body, and he will preserve these blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, I pray that God will keep you holy and that God would sanctify, keep together your whole spirit and soul and body. He will preserve them blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This points out something to us. This points out something important to us, and that's this. You cannot talk about spiritual growth, and if you can write this down, you cannot talk about spiritual growth without effectively talking about the anatomy of man. And I'm not talking biology or science here. I'm talking Bible, all right? So you cannot talk spiritual growth without talking about the anatomy of man, the breakdown of man. And Bible clearly in 1 Timothy 5:23 says man has three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Did you get that? Man has three parts, spirit, soul, and body. These three parts are important to us. These three parts, we must understand that, so we believe, and I'm sure many of us might be aware of the fact already that man is spirit, all right, but man isn't spirit alone. to be man, you have to have these three. Of course, when you leave the earth and you, I mean, anybody goes home to build the Lord, the person doesn't cease to be man. So if we say, well, to be man, you must have these three. If you don't have these three, you're not man. We need to factor in those moments where someone departs, you know, to be, with the Lord. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. Thank you, Lord. Now, another thing I want us to look at is this. Because man is spirit, soul, body, to talk about spiritual growth, we have to say, okay, if there are three parts, what are the relationships of these three parts? Now, man is spirit, soul, body. You are man. I am man. We're spirit, we're soul, we're body. We cannot effectively grow spiritually without looking at these three. And it's an exciting teaching, because if all I want to do is pray in tongues, and then, and I'm sure you might have seen this before, I could spend a lot of time praying in tongues and then I'm still depressed. I could spend a lot of time praying in tongues and then I still worry. I could spend a lot of time praying in tongues and then I'm still not at par when it comes to certain things, or, you know, I find myself up today, down tomorrow, things are not going for me the way I want them to go. What could it be? And that's what we're learning. Okay, how do you develop solid spiritual growth? So there is spirit, soul, and then body. I'll take that again. There is spirit, soul, and then body. So let's look at the breakdown of these three, all right? Let's look at the strengths of these three. Let's see why possibly could God give man these three parts. What exactly, all right, does the Father have in mind? What's his game plan? Why must I have three parts? What am I going to do there? All right. Have you come to realize something very important? And that's in John chapter 4, and I want to quickly go there. So in John 4, Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. John 4, woman at the well. Are you ready? So Jesus says to her, well, she first says, all right, and that's verse 20, our fathers, and I like this, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place that we ought to worship. I'll take that again. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say in Jerusalem is the place to worship. And I want you to quickly think through this. The mountain is a physical place. Jerusalem is a physical place, all right? So their fathers go to the mountain, the Jews go to Jerusalem, all right? The temple, all right? And then Jesus gives a classic answer that everybody knows, but I'm going to connect something into it. Verse 21, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship and you know not what, because we worship and we know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. 23, the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. 24, God is a spirit, and they that must worship him in spirit and in truth. So verses 23 and 24 happen to be the most popular verses in this particular reading, all right? Some of the verses are popular in this chapter, but in this particular reading, 23, 24 happen to be the most popular, like, right? You know, the hour comes and now is, and you find, you know, maybe a lot of worship leaders quoting that. Hour comes and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit. But one interesting thing here is this. Jesus said, God is spirit. They that must worship him in spirit and in truth. What is the conversation going on here? The woman said, our fathers worship on the mountain. You Jews say Jerusalem. Jesus switched worship from a physical location to a spiritual location. Did you get that? Jesus switched worship, not on the mountain, not in Jerusalem, in the spirit. So question, where is that? Is it on the mountain? Is it in Jerusalem? No, it's everywhere there can be. So at the end of the day, if you do not have a proper understanding of the spirit concept, allow me to use the word concept, some people don't like it. But the idea, the understanding, the revelation, and I know, yes, that sounds a lot more word, all right? So if you do not have a revelation of the spirit life, if you do not have a revelation of the hidden man, you would completely, totally, and outrightly miss this. So who needs to be talked to about spiritual growth and development? Every child of God. All right. Sometimes we think spiritual growth or number of years in Christ is tantamount to spiritual growth. All right. So we just assume number of years in Christ. Hey, I've been born again for 15 years. You've been born again for 3 years. All right. So that would mean, therefore, all right, that I am. All right. Because I got born again before you. I would know more than you, but it is not so. You find Timothy being a young man, right, being the head over a very large congregation. So it is possible that the younger person is more spiritually advanced, more spiritually mature than the physically older person. So it's not age. And if everybody understands that, people will get born again and want to grow quick. And it's not, I got born again before you, so I'm growing before you. At the end of the day, you just realize that get born again, face your road. Because I learned from Jesus after he resurrected and he said to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And then, you know, when they got through talking and him telling Peter how he would die, Peter says, what about the other guy? Peter was pointing right at John. And Jesus says, if I say he will be here till I come, how is that a business to you? How does that, you know, concern you? If I say, all right, if I say that, then it's not your business. So at the end of the day, your growth, your own spiritual growth, your own spiritual knowledge, your own spiritual understanding is, you know, in your power to do. It's, it should be your focus on development. So we see here now in Romans chapter 1, did you get the fact that they that worship must worship how? In spirit. Remember that David danced with all of his might. So we still come to church and say, come on. Okay, you're going to dance right now. And you're going to dance like David danced. You're going to dance with all of his might. David danced with all of his might. And that pleased God because that was all David had. So I repeat, David danced with all of his might. And it pleased God because that was all. That was everything that David had. David did not have a recreated human spirit. David wasn't born again, right? The spirit did not have to live in David, came upon David. But so there were limitations in that covenant. We have an advancement. So in Romans chapter 1, all right, and then very, very, very interesting, the 9th verse of Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 verse 9, Paul says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. The law, all right, and Jesus did make reference to it, said you need to love the Lord, of course, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength, even your neighbor also as yourself. So you have to love the Lord. You must love the Lord. Hey, I mean, come on. You should love the Lord. You understand that? But we get a switch. It's not just the might and the strength. Now I do it with my spirit. And when I learn to do it with my spirit, there will be an outflow. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about just, you know, having mental ascent. No. When I learn to do this right, when I learn to serve God with my spirit, the rest will flow. The rest automatically, all right, will flow, will find expression, and I will be of greater use, of greater benefit to myself and the entire kingdom of God. Do you understand this? So there is spirit, there is soul, and then there's body. We're going to deal with them a little bit more, a little bit, you know, in an in-depth version. But before we get there, three things, two threes, all right? So the first three is that there are three kinds of men, all right? We're talking about spiritual growth, all right? So there are three kinds of men, and we find them quickly there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and chapter 3. So we'll go first to chapter 2, all right? To 1 Corinthians, and then the second chapter we find here, Paul is writing. I mean, one of my favorite portions in the Bible is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yep. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is saying from the 13th verse, which things also we speak, not in words that man's wisdom teaches, but in words that the Holy Spirit teaches, you know, comparing spiritual with spiritual. But he drops a bombshell, verse 14. But the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Paul introduces a type of man. All right, I said there are three kinds of man, three types. Paul, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the 14th verse. He says, but I picked from 13, and 13 is saying which things we speak. We speak certain secrets, all right, truths. All right, not in words that man's wisdom teaches, but in words that the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, all right, speaking spiritual and spiritual, all right. It now says, but the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit. Can't. And when you try to do spiritual things to appease natural minds, they can't get it. This is what the Bible is saying. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because these things are spiritually discerned. Don't forget, God is spirit. They that worship him, worship in spirit and truth. So the core place of fellowship, the core place of relationship and intimacy with God is spirit. Did you get that? The core place of worship and the core place of intimacy with God is that place of a spirit. So we see here, Paul is now saying natural men can't get it. They can't. It's foolishness to them. Then we go to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. Just slide, all right, your Bible, flip the page. Some might have the same page anyway, or same area. And Paul introduces a second type of man. He says, for I, brethren, chapter 3, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Hold on. So here he actually introduces two kinds. He says, and I, brethren, couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. There's something conflicting here. If you take a closer look, he says, and I, brethren. So Paul was talking to brethren. Paul was talking to fellow believers. Paul was talking to saints. And he said, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual believers. Now, of course, let's go to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians from verse 1. Just to lay this or just define this clearly. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. So Paul is writing to the church of God where at Corinth. So he's writing a letter to believers. He's writing a letter to fellow Christians, his brothers and sisters in Christ. Unto the church of God that is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, all right, in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, which with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both yours and ours. All right. So in this third chapter, all right, I just did that in the first chapter to really like let someone know this is not that kind of letter where you say, oh, Paul's writing to everybody. All right. So it's not like the book of Hebrews. Paul is writing clearly to the church. All right. The people in Corinth, born again. And Paul says, and I, brethren, couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babe. So we saw in 1 Corinthians 2, there's the natural man. Now we see that he couldn't speak to them as unto spiritual, but only as to carnal. So that means we have the natural, then we have the carnal, and then we have the spiritual, all right? Natural, carnal, spiritual. I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual, but carnal, even as unto babes, all right? In Christ, babies. These guys are children. They've not grasped spiritual things, or okay, basically, carnal means to allow your flesh have its way. Just simple baseline English, all right? Canal, canal carnivorous, canal flesh, flesh, flesh living, flesh led, flesh. So these guys are giving more room to the flesh in their lives. So that means in the church, there'll be two kinds of people. In the church, three kinds, but church like believers. And I'm going to explain this better when we see stages of spiritual growth. But in the church, like the two kinds of people that'll be there, you find the spiritual guys and then the carnal guys. But hey, the spiritual guys are not the guys that pray a lot in tongues. All right. So it's not because you pray a lot in tongues. Oh, well, I'm one of the spiritual people that pray a lot in tongues. No. Isn't it amazing? Let's go to Acts and the sixth chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 6 from the very first verse. Acts 6 from verse 1. So Paul is saying here, Luke is writing. So Acts 6, 1, and Luke is in those days, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily distribution of food. So there was food being distributed to them. And then verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not a reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. I want you to follow me now. It gets interesting. Verse 3, wherefore, look unto you. All right, I skipped the word. I'm using the King James. Wherefore, brethren, look ye amongst yourselves, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. I know you're with me, so I shouldn't ask, are you with me, right? But I think you're with me. Verse 3 again, wherefore, brethren, hold on. Once again, like Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he said, and I, brethren, couldn't speak to you as to spiritual. All right. The apostles here are saying, wherefore, brethren. So this is church. It's a church meeting. Okay. Wherefore, brethren, look ye amongst yourselves, seven men. Number one, of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Oh, like, hit the brakes. Hold on. In Acts chapter 2, all right, we find out that 3,000 guys got born again. Then when Peter and John, you know, ministered to the man, Peter particularly, the man at the beautiful gate in Acts chapter 3, 5,000 people get born again. So that's 3,000 plus 5,000, 8,000. By Acts 1, they were already 120. So that's 8,000. 120, and God's been adding to them daily. So right here in this place, we have over 8,000 people gathered in church, maybe 10,000 thereabout. Bible scholars agree between 10 and 12,000 of them are here. Watch this. And they said, look out amongst yourselves, men of number one, honest report, men full of the Holy Ghost, men full of wisdom. This is the church of Jesus Christ. It could have just said, it's going to be difficult to pick. All of you are full of the Holy Ghost. Everybody has a honest report. But they said, look ye out among yourself. So that means, watch this now. Despite the fact that all of them were born again, they were at different stages of growth. Are you getting that? So we're going to look at those stages a lot better. But what we're looking at is the three types, all right? We have the natural man. Then we have the carnal man. Then we have the spiritual man. Did you get that? The natural man, then the carnal man, then the spiritual man. So who is this carnal man? So we get back again to, it's easy to just talk about the natural man, not born again. All right. The carnal man. So we keep reading verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 again. And I, brethren, couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for up until now you were not able to handle it. Even now you are not able. So it means the carnal guy cannot handle the meat. He can handle milk. Someone says, but I can handle the meat. I can handle the meat. Give me the meat. It's not the way Paul handled this thing. I'm not sure it was just about flinging deep revelations all over the place. It wasn't that. It means that it's not just about what you hear, but how well you can access, handle the things that you hear by your spirit. That's what this is. Because if it was just about deep stuff, these guys had some really deep stuff. All right. They had the best of the best. You see that in a minute. Verse 3 says, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is amongst you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and behave as men? Meaning when we give room to envy, strife, and divisions, we're acting carnal and behaving like men. That means that there are many other things he left out of this list that will qualify us as carnal. Anybody wants to take a quick check? All right. No raising of hands. No pointing at anybody. No. All right. Because each one of us needs to view this and realize it means at certain moments we give room to the flesh. But these guys didn't seem to do this occasionally. Paul would always say, well, once in a while you guys did. I said, no, you were babies. You were babies. And then verse 4, he says, for while one will say, I'm of Paul, another says, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? Well, ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. So, hey, he's saying there's division. There's partisan spirit in this place. And Paul says, no, that's a whole lot of carnality. So if fighting over I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos is carnal, what happens when two people are almost going to fight over Man U and Chelsea and Arsenal and Liverpool? All right. And, you know, excuse me. And we do those kinds of things nowadays without feeling like so I don't even like to talk to anybody that is Chelsea on this page. I'm going to block you tonight. And I mean it. These guys were fighting over who belonged to which preacher. Paul called them carnal, not which who belonged to which football club or who loves, which movie more than the other or, you know, who loved which politician more than the other. They were fighting over preachers. They were, you know, choosing which preacher. That was this fight, not politics. So you'd realize that we've come to accept a number of things that the more we expose ourselves to the world, we say, hey, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to give attention to this. I'm not supposed to. You know, I shouldn't. You get that. I'm not supposed to. And then I shouldn't. So we have the carnal guy. So the carnal guy gives room to the flesh. So the flesh likes division, the flesh likes beef, the flesh likes strife. I love the spiritual guy. Chapter 2, the 15th verse of chapter 2. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He didn't say the guy that speaks in tongues. He said the one spiritual, will forgive me. Three kinds of man. So we've talked about three types of man, three kinds of man. So let's look at three stages of spiritual growth. Three stages. First is, are you writing? Yeah, you are taking notes, right? So first, babyhood. Three stages, all right? So First Peter and then chapter 2, verse 2, babyhood. First Peter chapter 2, verse 2. So Peter is saying here, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Did you get that? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Two things here that would already be familiar. The use of the word babes and then the use of the word milk. Remember where you heard that? The word babes, the word milk, the word babes, the word milk. So we go back to it. I just want you to see it, but see this one. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. So milk is for the babies. So I'll say, what's milk? You know, when you teach this, those things are milk. Well, that's not what I'm entering. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. And let's see something. Paul says in verse 2, I have fed you with milk, not with meat. For up until now, you were not able to handle the meat. Even now, you are not able to handle the meat. One more place. Hebrews. And then the 5th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 5. And the 14th verse of Hebrews. Hebrews 5, 14. Well, we'll just pick it quickly from the 12th verse. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one will teach you again that things that are first principles of the oracles of God. You have become such that have need of milk, not solid meat. Milk is introduced here again. Verse 13 says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. The person is a babe. So in 1 Peter 2, 2, you find babes, you find milk. In 1 Corinthians 3, all right, and verse 2, you find babes, you find milk. Now in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So these guys, the spiritual guys, all right, don't just have a revelation or a knowledge. The way we use the word revelation nowadays, we use that word, you know, to talk about deep stuff. Man, that teaching was full of revelation, full of revelation, full of revelation. And allow me to say, without getting too far, there therefore would be stages in what we call revelation. For the most part, what we call information, or what is information, is what many of us refer to as revelation. All right? But the fullness of revelation is transformative. So when I have a revelation of health and healing, it transforms me, impacts upon my relationship with sickness and disease. Why? I have a revelation of it. Okay? So I could sit in a teaching where someone does a very great work explaining, all right, the place of health and healing, by his wounds you're healed and all of that. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that blessed me. So I'm going to walk out of there with a lot of information, useful information. Someone else might be in that same meeting that while the teacher taught, he or she just, I'm never supposed to be sick again. I'm never supposed to speak again. Might be able to explain the verses, but beyond that explanation, there was a transformation. Ooh, I see it. I see it now. I see it. I see it. So some might miss all of that and walk away with, you know, information. And then we're like, man, in that service, I got a revelation, I got a revelation of healing. But what you're referring to is information. Do you understand that? Like, man, ooh, wow. And then you can plot the graph and connect Galatians 3, Deuteronomy 28. You know, you look at the curse of the law and then come to Christ has redeemed us from the curse. And then it's, you could explain it to people. You're like, man, I got a revelation. And then share with somebody and go, But then, few months, weeks down the line, something impacts upon you, symptoms, sickness, but that revelation you had didn't bail you out. Not because it wasn't revelation, but it has not become revelation. I trust this is clear. Please write it down. Just write these things down. There will be an opportunity to ask questions, but not today. Because sometimes when you say, okay, ask questions, the teaching is still going on. So some things that you might have as questions will still be answered while the teaching is going on. And then we're not in a rush, all right? We're not in a rush. Did you get this? So I'm in Hebrews 5. I want to say something to you. Good, since I'm writing Hebrews, right? So. Right. I want to show you something in this same Hebrews. Okay. Chapter 4. So just switch your Bible. Just swing your Bible to chapter 4, Hebrews. Verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any should seem to come short of it. Look at verse 2. This is where I'm going. For unto us was the word preached. As well as, now, I know someone is already going, yeah, I know that verse. Please relax. Don't get too familiar. Flow with it, please. All right, thank you. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Please notice, the gospel was preached to us, the gospel was preached to them. Watch this. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So it wasn't the preaching of the word that was faulty, because the word preached to us was preached to them. But the word preached did not bear fruit because it wasn't mixed with faith. Now, yeah, in the case of the person who, you know, took notes and could explain it, sometimes we are very academic in receiving things from the Spirit of God. we're academic. All right. Now, someone shouldn't now be like, woo, I don't like jotting and taking notes. That's my point. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's not a mental thing. It's not, Mary wasn't taking notes when the angel was telling her that she was going to give birth. What did she do? She believed, she received, she believed, she received. When you're receiving, get into receiving. I beg you, because revelation means, all right, something is uncovered, now you can see. But it doesn't leave you at you can see it. Revelation takes you to the high point of now you see to be able to experience it. Did you get that? It's not enough to say, I could explain this to you. No, I see it to the point of experiencing it. Now, you might see it, you have seen it, and then you're growing in the realm of experiencing it. I understand that. That also happens. But you see it to the point of experiencing it. That's what... So revelation is transformative. It's not informative. I went through all of that to just get to that. So when we say, oh, revelation of God's word, it's not information. It's transformation. It's revelation that transforms you. The totality of revelation, all right, the assignment of the revelation is not complete if you're not transformed. Matthew, Jesus said something here. All right. In Matthew chapter 13, the 15th verse of Matthew 13. So Jesus said in Matthew 13, 15, for these people's heart is waxed gross. All right. So these people's heart is waxed gross. And then their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed. Lest at any time. Watch this now. So Jesus is talking about the reception of the word and the bearing fruit of the word. These people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed. Watch this. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and then I will heal them. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart. This is talking about the process of revelation. In that sense, and should be converted, and I'll heal them. So the process of revelation is not complete until there's transformation. So you and I must please do ourselves this favor of not just being so excited about how much of God's word you hear, but how much of it you bear fruit with. All right? And that's what the whole parable of the sower was about. Some heard it. They didn't get it. Birds of the air took it away. Some heard it. They were excited about it. They didn't have enough depth. And then affliction came. They bailed. Some others heard it. They were trying to bear fruit with it, but they got distracted. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust for other things. You're trying to stay with the word, and then there are concerns, and you're bothered, and then you're worried, and the cares of life, you know, and they seem very legitimate, and they take away that place of you giving attention to God's word, and then the deceitfulness of riches, because you feel you're okay, you now have a good job, you don't have to release your faith for stuff, you don't have to trust God for, you know, health and healing, all right, there's health insurance and all of that, you're just okay, you know, and then the lust for other things, just pursuing things that you shouldn't, and they take you off, just take you away from the word, they just take you off the word. You understand that? So because of that, many people don't get to give, you know, the attention to the word that they should. So revelation, and so I think I've explained this whole revelation thing. Do you understand it? I beg you. Because tomorrow is Sunday, you'll be in church. Don't sit there like, In the midst of what the pastor is saying, or maybe you're going to have a guest preacher in your church tomorrow, there is something in the midst of what the pastor is saying there, all right, is something that the Holy Ghost will be communicating to you. So while, you know, you're going to now have to write down and then take notes, you know, jot down all the things the pastor will say here in that, what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Someone will say, oh, are you saying the Spirit of God is not saying everything to me? You know, I'm saying the preacher could preach and to someone, the revelation will be, get away from where you are. You've sat on that mountain for too long. That word might be for someone, not for everyone. You understand all of this? All right. So three stages of growth, all right? We have three kinds of men, the natural man, the carnal man, the spiritual man. Because you are spiritual, I mean, because you're born again, you'd either be carnal at some point, spiritual, you're either of the two, but let's look at this. So we're talking about babies, all right? So as newborn babies are seen, say milk. So babies talk about milk. Hebrews now says that those who are mature, they are skillful in the word of righteousness. There's a revelation and people have taken it as, oh, those of us that understand that we're righteous of God in Christ Jesus, we're the mature ones. Possibly not. There's a depth of understanding of right. There's a skillfulness in the word of righteousness. All right. There's a growth of maturity about it. We will get there. I need to take this level by level, line upon line. So we have the babies. All right. The babies, and quickly write this down, please. We are all children of God, but we all are not sons of God. You see that, but note that we're all children of God, but we're not sons. The word son in a number of places, even like Romans chapter 8 that we quote, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons. The word son there is not the general child. It's the mature one. It takes maturity to consistently. It means you put your flesh down, all right? When you tell a child, sit, you have to say it like, you know, you might have to say it again, maybe not all the time, but you might say it again and again and again. A more mature person responds quickly. So as many as are led by the Spirit, they are. So the more you yield to the leading of the Spirit, the more mature you are. It would have been great for him to say, as many as are led by, I mean, as many as spend time praying and fasting. You could pray and fast, like I said earlier, and be very subjective. Have your thoughts, what you want, and that's all you're fasting about. You're not hearing any simple thing that God is saying, and you go there, and you come out there, I told God. When you're done telling God what you want to tell God, did God tell you what he wanted to tell you? You know, because prayer is not all about what you told God. And then I told God this, I told God that, and then I told God that, and then I told God that, and I told God that, like God is an errand boy, and that's how we treat these things. And then, what did he tell you? When you were done saying all your stuff, what did God say? I mean, I heard from Kenneth Copeland very many years ago, and Copeland said, someone was, you know, busy, you know, asking God about a number of things and praying, and the man said, I came to a revelation, all right, that the guy who knows nothing is doing all the talking and not letting the one that knows everything say anything. All right. So if your prayer life is like that, please change it, tweak it. You will travel further, faster in your spiritual growth and development when you give more room to hearing from him. All right. Than anything else. When you give more room, you will travel further and faster. The advancements, all the heroes of faith made in the Bible was because they responded to something that God said. You'll see some other areas of your lives not put together, not okay. But the advancements, all right, they stayed in the agenda of God for their lives and they followed whatever it was that God revealed to them. So there are babies, all right? So maybe if you're where you are, just say baby, all right? All right, so babies, all right? So next one, Ephesians and chapter 4. So in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11, Bible says, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He now says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, till we come to a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I know you might know all of this. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, all right, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So he says first, now there are those that are babies. Now he says, there are those who are children. So they are babies, they are infants, all right? So, and then they grow a little bit and then they become children. And then from there, next stage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, and John said this, I'm just, when we're done with Paul, I'll show you how John put it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 13, 11. So Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Did you get that? 1 Corinthians 13, 11. Paul is saying, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. So how do we understand a bit of the childhood level here? Three things are revealed to us. Number one is in speech. Number two is in understanding. Number three is in reasoning. Did you get that? When I was a child, I spoke as a child. So there's a way children speak. It's immature speech, immature spiritual speech, right? It lacks depth, it lacks clarity, it lacks revelation. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, all right? And then I thought, I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I put away these things. So the proof of growth, the change in spiritual growth stages would reflect in your speech, your understanding, and your reasoning. Your speech, your understanding, your reasoning. Your speech, your understanding, your reasoning. You know, I heard a preacher say something recently, and it just blessed me. And that's because, you know, sometimes when you're not that, you know, globally known preacher, there's a level to which when you're not there yet, or, you know, sometimes it's not even, but anyway, there's a way people just feel like you don't understand this thing. But isn't it amazing? But anyway, so I heard a preacher say the first time, maybe there's flood somewhere. The first time he hears about it or maybe watches it on the news, say that's all. The next time that news comes up, he moves away or pauses, changes the channel. Said he doesn't want to see it a second time. Why? Because meditation continues from there. I've seen it. I heard it. Thank you. I heard in your 7 o'clock news. But not everybody understands this. All right. Sweet Wigglesworth was going to receive, I think it was Lester. Was it Lester? I think it was Lester somewhere that was going to go into Sweet Wigglesworth's house. And then he had a newspaper with him and Wigglesworth said, I don't allow that thing into my house. I don't allow that into my house. You say, but how do they keep current? I'm sure they might have some, maybe grapevine, summarize this whole thing to me in 5 minutes, tell me what it is, let me move on. Because it's meditation. This is where I'm going. If preachers will do that, all right, over stuff like that, then we now have to argue over maybe social media and what you're exposing yourself to. And I'm not going there. I'm only saying, how is your reasoning? How is your speech? How is your level of understanding? To what extent can you say, oh, the way I reasoned 3 years ago, because that's what Paul is saying. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away. So he knew at what point he had to put these things away. So you might have to write where you are right now, I'm putting away. Did you get that? I am putting away. So put away what? All right. Or you want to say check, speech, understanding, reasoning, thoughts. All right. What are the kinds of thoughts I allow? What are the kinds of thoughts I, how much do I understand? So let's break down understanding. For instance, how much do you understand being led by the Spirit? And I mean, understand to the point of action. How much do you understand the place of walking in love? How much? So you could just break down, as my understanding increased, am I putting away some childish? Am I unlearning certain things? Am I learning new things that would advance me? Please note, none of these things will have very much to do with prayer and fasting. You cannot remove prayer and fasting, but I'm saying There's so much about the word, that there's so much about growth and development, that if all we just want to do is pray, you would not know as much as you should. Did you get that? What we're reading is the letter Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and we have other letters he wrote, Peter wrote, John wrote. We have them here. James wrote. If all they did was pray and they felt there was no need for teaching, these letters would not be written. So there's the place for you've got to learn this thing. So on your own, again, for application, what do I need to do? However you want to write it, all right? This is just me trying to give you an example. But check three areas: speech, understanding, and thought, reasoning. All right? Are your thoughts better now than they were? Are there strongholds that used to exist, things you would allow? Are you pulling them down better now? What kind of thoughts do you give room to? How do you understand spiritual things now than you used to? Okay? Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. So John gives his own classification too. Just beautiful. I like John. So John, I mean, he's awesome. So 1 John chapter 2 from the 12th verse. 1 John chapter 2 verse 12, all right? It says, I write unto you little children because you have known him that is from the beginning. Oh, no, I skipped. I started chapter 2 verse 12 and I ended up in 13. I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. Hallelujah. And the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Three categories. Yeah, little children, young men, fathers. And interestingly, see what he says very simply about the fathers. Verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him. And I was like, what's the big deal about it? It seems to say a lot. It seems to say a lot. The fathers know him. So at the end of the day, there's a knowing and the increase of that knowing. And know here, once again, I beg you, it's not mental. There's a walk with him. There's a walk that matures you. There's a knowing that grows you. So children are still children. So verse 12 says, I write unto you children because your sins are forgiven. Maybe some of them needed that counsel, that comfort. I'm writing you to know your sins are forgiven because children are still battling and grappling with sins. Oh, this was wrong. That was wrong. I did this wrong. I did that wrong. Doesn't mean none of the others might do anything wrong. But that just might be happening more in the child dimension of it because, hey, chapter 2, verse 1, my little children. Are you in the first verse now? Verse 1 of the same chapter 2. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So he's assuring them, my little children. So you would almost think because he's John, you know, he's Father John in that like sense of, you know, big papa. And then he writes to them, you know, and he's referring to everybody in the church as sons, all right? Or children rather. He says, my little children, I write this unto you, all right? That you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He is the propitiation of our sins. Not our sins alone, but the sins of the whole world. And then verse 12 says, I write unto you little children. So he's saying something to the little children. And he repeats there again, I write to you little children. I want you to know that your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's someone around you might need to assure. You might need to assure. The person's tired of prayer, tired of Jesus, tired of something. He says, I write to you. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. I write to you, your sins have been forgiven for his sake. He didn't forgive you. Oh, because you fasted or you prayed or you gave or because you helped somebody. No. No, you cannot buy forgiveness with your works. You cannot buy it. You can't. Some people, you know, get as far, and there's a way we could get very, you know, what's the word? Not traditional. You know, there's just a way we could be very funny. Someone says, oh, when that thing was happening to me, you know, I went into my room and I locked the door. I removed all my clothes so that God would see me the way he made me. And I prayed. You missed the point again. God is spirit. And the connect is a spirit, not your body. You missed the point again. It's with the heart man believes, not with the body. So yes, in the Old Testament, he allowed them to repent with sackcloths and ashes. Now repentance is here. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, well, from the time of Abraham, as before he became instituted in the law, circumcision was physical. Now it's of the heart. So we topic for another day. We need to, I will still do a bit of it. We still have a bit of time for that. Talk about the human spirit, but we have to dedicate a weekend or more and talk about the human spirit. Because we cannot enter spiritual things deeply, and this for me is a whole lot of foundation laying, all right? A whole lot of foundation laying. Since I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Because, and someone needs to know. Many years ago, I was pastoring, you know, a period of pastoring somewhere, and then, you know, there was this other pastor from a particular denomination. He said, the general overseer got them together. And he said, hey, you guys need to teach your church about righteousness. And I heard this because he was inviting me to come teach on righteousness. He said, because he's heard me talk about it or something. Hey, come talk to my church about it. He said, because in this other place, you know, someone did something, blah, blah. And then the guy committed suicide. And the truth is, why would a believer commit suicide? I know we'll come up with psychology, sociology, and everything to want to defend it. It's an absence of revelation. That's what it is. It's an absence of revelation. At that point, that child of God, bless his heart, bless our heart, has given himself or herself over to contrary thoughts. Thoughts of depression, thoughts of defeat and despair, thoughts of God will never forgive me, thoughts of, oh, I've lost it all. Oh, hallelujah. The guy with Christ is the guy that has hope. And it's not in this world alone we have hope. So we are not miserable. So when a believer feels like that, there's an absence of revelation. He or she is giving himself or herself to negative thoughts, to contrary thoughts. And the devil at those points, all he does is to get popcorn, sit around you and enjoy the movie. He likes you wallowing in depression, wallowing in sin, not forgiving yourself. And many times you're looking for people to forgive you, but you really have not forgiven yourself. So John says, I write to you, little children. I write to you. And there are many little children you meet again in church tomorrow. They are little children. Grappling over one action or the other, one habit or the other. I write to you, little children. He forgave you. He forgave you for his name's sake, not yours. His name's sake, not because of your church. His name's sake. Oh, then he says, I write to you, young man. And see the repetition of what he says to the young man. First, you know, we see in the 13th verse, I write unto you young men. He had to talk about fathers first. I'm already skipping into the young men part. I write unto you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. Are you getting that? Then he goes to children, right? And you little children because you have known the father. He says the children, they know the father, but then he's repeating that the fathers have known the one that is from the beginning. Hallelujah. They have a deep walk with the Lord. They have a deep walk with the Lord. The young men, they are victorious, confronting things. Because he deals with them on the same line. I write to you, young men, you have overcome the wicked one. By the 14th verse again, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. Because the word of God abides in you and you have overcome. Hallelujah. 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 So there's victory. So the children are still falling and getting up and grappling here and there. They need assurance. Oh, but the young men are confronting. They're standing. They're confronting. They're fighting. They're confronting. They're confronting. The older ones have entered a fuller level of victory. That depth of walk with the Lord is amazing. John's way of just putting this thing, three categories, and he says, I write to you. I write to you. I write to you. I write to you. What do we do? So you and I must, and prayer, fasting, and all that will come in there, but you're not, the last times you fasted, times, you know, however, how many, were they just about fellowship with the Lord? I just want to flow with him and just love him and just spend time with him. I would love to believe he had very little to do with promotion, protection, and all of that. Is that all right? Wow. So a lot of foundation laying. One thing I'm aware of is that everybody right here, this today, different time zones, were at different levels of understanding. Some of you, this is like a refresher. Some of you, this is new. For the sake of those that might find this as new, I would, those of you that seem to receive this as a refresher, you have to slow down and receive the refresher as it is. It has to bless you, right? We can't feel, I know that, cut the next one. No, we're going to look at it. Someone is here who is hearing all of this for the very first time. I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I remember, you know, a number of years back on campus, you know, we had heard, what happened from the cross to the throne, you know, Kenyon and all of that. And then, so you're sharing it. I remember this particular one. It's happened on a few topics, but this one, I was sharing it with a particular lady, you know, and we have this, you know, place at our home on campus that we just bring people, we word them up, really. So we're talking to this particular lady, and I remember, you know, getting into some verses and explaining certain things. She said she was coming. Oh dear, we didn't see her again. We didn't see her again. We didn't see her again the next time, maybe like a couple of days later. You know, when we saw her, she said, those stuffs. Her brain couldn't take it anymore. Like, poof. And then I remember this other brother, I mean, still spoke to him some time back. He's a pastor. I mean, we had different topics. Sometimes just righteousness, want to share with people. Sometimes what happened from the cross to the throne. I mean, different topics. So Shane, you know, same what happened from the cross to the throne with him. He took off, as in he ran. I think he came back, like, I can't remember right now. He took off screaming, running, as in screaming, not church service, one-on-one, just, oh, I've missed that. Just one-on-one. When you talk to the person, you go verse by verse and you see the eyes light up. Like, you say, yeah, it's entering. It's just, it's amazing. It's glorious. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. So what we're looking at, please, so for the sake of those who are hearing this for the first time, I would like all of us to, you know, stick with it. I remember Casey Price, you know, I think was doing a series, took a while in his church, and then some older guys felt, nah, come on, pastor. You know, and he said to them, hey, walk in love. If you're mature, you would walk in love, because these are the same things I taught you that grew you. So you have to sit here while I teach it to them, all right? And while I'm doing that, you will learn something still. You will. I still read Hagin books or listen to Hagin messages that I've listened to like a number of times, and there's still always something new. All right, so how many kinds of man do we have, all right? Man, all right? The natural man, the carnal man, the spiritual man, all right? How many stages of growth are there? Three types of men, three stages of growth, natural man, carnal man, spiritual man for that, babyhood, childhood, adulthood, or want to use John's own, and I feel that's beautiful, little children, young men, and then the fathers, all right? It's growth. It's growth. It's not position. All right. It's not now you're a deacon in church. You're one of the fathers, or it's Father's Day. So say, okay, Father's Day, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. This is not biological conversation. This is spiritual. He said, he didn't say, I write to you fathers because you have children and your wives are, you know, lovingly standing by you. You guys, I can see. No, he said, I write to you fathers because you know the person that is from the beginning. So fatherhood is measured in that depth of walk and relationship. All right. So praise God. So three stages of growth, three kinds of man, and then three parts of man. Did you get that part? Three threes now, right? So the first three parts of man, spirit, soul, body. Did you get that? The three parts of a man. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, your whole spirit, soul, body. That's the arrangement. Spirit, soul, body. Your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless. So three parts of man, spirit, soul, body. All right. Three types of man, natural, not born again, carnal, baby, spiritual. All right. Then three stages of growth, babyhood, childhood, adulthood. Did you get that? Babyhood, childhood, adulthood. And then using John, little children, young men. All right. Fathers. And then the little children, they need assurance. Their sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. They need to come again into the knowledge of the love of the Father. He said, I write to you so that you will know that your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. And then he said, I have written to you because you have known the Father. They need to know the love of the Father. Little children, they need assurance, growth, love, acceptance. They need to know and grow. Young men, victory. They've come to know. They are putting to use what they know and they are overcoming. I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I've written unto you, young men, because the word of God is abiding strong in you. You have overcome. So they are using the word they know, casting down imaginations, taking authority over circumstances. They are using the word they know. Fathers, it's not, oh, they've come into a state of rest. No, they've entered a higher level of revelation. Bible history teaches us or tells us how that John, the beloved, was thrown into a pot of boiling oil and nothing happened to him. All right. And then he was cast to the island of Patmos. That's where he received, right, the revelation. And then he wrote the book of Revelation. So John was a father. So he's not father by age. It's a walk. All right. It's a walk like the patriarchs. You find Hebrews chapter 1 referring to them as fathers. Right, God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spoke to our fathers by the prophets. All right. So within their own class, classification, category, they stood out as fathers. They stood out. They had a walk with God, right, to the degree that their dispensation permitted. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? They had a walk with God. Enoch walked with him. Abraham walked with him. Noah walked with him. These men walked with God to the degree that their dispensation permitted them. And we have a better covenant established upon better promises. So you and I have to commit ourselves to growth, to knowledge, to revelation. Hallelujah. To intimacy. Right? Knowing the one that is from the beginning. Having a revelation of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. All right. So spirit, soul, body, spirit, soul, body, spirit, soul. Thank you there, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Wow. Praise God. All right. Finally, the hour I've been waiting for shows up. All panelists. All right. Praise God. Great. Amen. Hallelujah. So spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. So man is spirit, soul, body. The spirit has a name. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll pick it from the 16th verse. So we'll talk a bit about spirit, soul, and body, and we'll be done today. And that a bit is a whole lot. It's a whole lot. It's a whole, what I mean by a whole lot is a whole lot to chew. Please chew. All right. It's a whole lot. That would round up the teaching like 5 minutes before we're done. I'll round up the teaching and then a few announcements. We'll swing into tomorrow. So first, 2 Corinthians, 4 verse 16. Okay, thank you. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. Praise God, praise God. All right, so we could share screen now. Thank you. So just in case we switch versions and translations, a number of us can follow through. And then in case, like I said earlier, you're using your phone, this could Help us, Gabriel. Thank you for your patience. All right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So here, Bible lets us know that there's an outward man, there's an inward man. There's an outward man, there's an inward man. Okay, so the outward man, of course, is the man that you can see. So the carnal person spends more time with the things that concern the man on the outside, right? The carnal man spends time with this, relates with it, all right? How do you know you're happy? How do you know you're sad? How do you know if the weather is cold, you feel it in your body? If the weather is hot, same. If the pot is hot, you feel it, all right? You can measure, you can gauge the outward man. Truth also is you can gauge the soul. You just wake up feeling gloomy, moody, sad. They say, how you feeling? I just don't feel good. I just don't feel good. So the error and then the confusion now is this. Because you can feel the body and then you can feel the soul. I'm just so happy today. I mean, man, I'm just happy then. I'm not really happy today. I don't know what's happening to me. We now move that into the spirit. All right. So I don't feel God. I don't feel like God loves me. No, you cannot use the system of measurement in the realm of the senses and bring it into the realm of the spirit. They don't mix. The spirit is measured by spiritual things. All right. The body is sense. So you could measure things in the body and in the soul. In that sense realm, you cannot do that to the things of the spirit. So stop trying to feel. I know there's a degree to which you could perceive almost tangibly that, you know, presence of God in a service, in a place, in a worship meeting, in prayer. You could, but because you now want to gauge that way all the time, you get into trouble. You're just always trying to gauge spiritual things. I can't feel God. That prayer didn't move anything. There was nothing powerful about it. And if you're not careful, you're trying to gauge spiritual things with the senses. With the senses. And you and I have got to be very, very, very careful in that. I wrote something here that I think I need to read to someone. All right. Yep. So I said the body and the soul, they are quite obvious, but the spirit isn't. All right. You can always run a check on your body. All right. And on your soul, your doctor would, you know, help attend to your body. You could see what now. You could go to your gym and tell your gym instructor, I want this. What do I do? And he says, okay, 6 months, 8 months, 2 years, whatever. Let's start the process. So you could work on your body. Right. You could work on your soul. You could see, you know, a psychologist, a psychiatrist. You could talk to someone. I'm feeling like this. And then they're trying to poke into your past and we now move that into the things of the spirit to a point where we're unconsciously pushing these professions. They are professions. They are available for people. But don't be careful and know when to draw the line when you're dealing with a believer. Know when to draw the line. Jesus made it clear in John chapter 6:63. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So it's spirit word being communicated to your spirit. Not spirit word being communicated to your mind. Now we'll get to the place of the mind because the mind is the interface. If the mind doesn't get it, you might not apply it effectively. But once your spirit sends it well, it will be received. So we're going to take this line by line. All right. So I said the body and soul are quite obvious, but the spirit isn't. All right. Studies have been done about the body. Studies have been done about the soul. And there are loads of libraries filled with that. And then when it comes to spiritual things, that there's a mix of information out there that if you don't understand which and how to handle them, you could get into error. so much billions of dollars invested into the body every year, into the development of a soul. In fact, you know, it's amazing how you could spend 5, 25, or even 55 years with someone and never get to know the real them, the real person. What we see is the outward man. So once again, our 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16, there's an outward man. Then there is an inward man. There's the man on the outside. There's the man on the inside. So all we relate with, why do you like that lady you like? Outward. Why do you like that? You know, you say, but it's not just that. She's smart. She's, you know, jovial. She's this. She's, you know, very, you know, she makes decisions quickly. For the most part, all our descriptions end at the soul. Body and soul. Physical configuration of the guy or the lady. And then their soulish configuration. How smart, how funny, how firm, how, you know, bossy, how, you know, it's the soul. And these two things can be tweaked. They can be changed. But then we base the biggest decisions of our lives on them. And then we'll make a whole lot of mistake there. So Bible says there's an outward man, there's an inward man. 1 Peter chapter 3. Paul is writing here. In 1 Peter 3, and then, not John, 1 Peter 3. So he begins by, he's talking to wives and all of that. But then the third verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, it says, whose adorning, let it not be the adorning, outward adorning, all right, of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel. Verse 4, it now says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. All right. So he also says there's an outward adorning. Now, some say, so Peter says, don't do that. But if you read King James, it becomes funny because verse 3 here, King James says, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. So he wasn't saying they shouldn't wear clothes. All right. It was basically saying, yeah, they shouldn't put on the, it shouldn't be about the focus. And the New King James helps us there. All right. Fine apparel. The focus is not the outward. But then the beauty industry is big business right now. Please, it's fine. I mean, like Ken Hagin said, even old houses need a little bit of paint here and there. So, I mean, the beauty business is fantastic. Issue is we have done all of that neglecting the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me swing into talking a lot about the spirit and then praise God, praise God. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Guys, so there's a spirit, the soul, the body. There's a spirit, the soul, the body. There's a spirit, the soul, the body. All three are important to God. All three are important to you. In Genesis chapter 2:7, God formed man from the dust of the ground, breath into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2:7, God formed man from the dust of the ground, and then God breathed into his nostrils, all right, the breath of life, and man became living. So you see right here, spirit, soul, body. The body was formed from the ground, all right? Life force was released into man, and it became a living soul. New King James says, living being, living soul. All other creatures on the earth have body and soul. So your dog hurts, maybe gets his foot stuck somewhere, and the dog goes, you know, cries, dog is hurting. He has his soul. All right. You see animals protecting their young one, ducks leading their young ones, mother hen fighting when you try to get close to her eggs or her chicks. She fights you. They have a soul. They have feelings. Man has the spirit. So man is not just a soul. You know, he has a soul that has a spirit. Are you getting that now? So in this verse, you see, the three types of man, the body from the ground, and then there's a soul, and then there's a spirit attached with the soul. Can the soul and the spirit be divided? They are always together in man's case. I'll just quick give an instance, and that's the case of Lazarus and the rich man. All right? Because the rich man died, and Bible says was carried by angels to the bosom of Abraham. Lazarus rather died, was carried by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man died, and then he was buried. So what happens here is the rich man lifts up his eyes and sees Father Abraham, and he says to Abraham, please send Lazarus. All right. Then Abraham talks to him about the gulf in between them, and he says, okay, I have brothers. So his soul was still intact. He could remember brothers. He knew he had brothers. And is this not amazing? Bodies were buried. All right. The rich man died and was buried, but he still had a tongue that needed to be quenched. He still was asking Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger. So that means our spirits are not amoeba-ish, you know, formless and shapeless. No. The body obviously was made in a form that already existed in the realm of the spirit, because God has eyes, God has hands, God is spirit. But God is not formless. Angels are spirits, but they are not formless. There's a celestial body. Do you understand that? So the physical body takes upon a form. The physical body is your house. Paul deals with that. And you have to learn that in your spiritual growth. Your body is not, oh, this body. Hey, gosh, you just take away the body from me. Like some American Hagen, you know, and said she needs prayer. He said, what? You know, like, I was just on a prayer. I don't have any problem in this body anymore. Hagen said, I mean, it's happened to maybe a whole lot of them anyway. So I remember Jerry Savelle as I'm saying this right now. And then he said, okay, let me pray that you will die. But I said, no, I don't want to die. And then, you know, the preacher responded and said, that's the only way you will not have a problem in this flesh. Right? You have to get out of the flesh. So we can't just wish our bodies away. The Bible teaches us what to do with it. And it's in doing the thing the Bible says you should do that you will grow. All right. So as much as I feel, do we do a bit of body and a bit of soul? We have just about 30 minutes. So let's talk about the spirit. You, yes, I want to spend the next 30 minutes talking to you about you. Yes, man is spirit, soul, body, but the core of man is a spirit. You, the real man is spirit. Now, yes, over the years, I defined heart as spirit alone, but I think I would like to say heart is a combination of the spirit and the soul. And when we talk about the mind, you will see why I'm tilting there, right? Because the core, the final core within. Can you draw three circles where you are? Three circles, but hold on. One circle in, then the other circle right outside that, and then the bigger circle right after it. All right. Have you done that? Three circles, a small circle, and then a wider circle outside, and then the widest circle outside that. Inside the small circle, you could write spirit. Then that wider circle, that space there, soul, all right? You done that? And then the bigger circle, you put spirit. This illustration will bless you. Stare at it. I might talk about it a lot more now, but talk about it a lot better tomorrow. But you have to understand something. So when Bible says guard your heart, there's a core in those circles you have to guard. Is it your spirit alone? If we realize what God has done to our spirits, if your mind doesn't get renewed, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if your mind does not get renewed, then you will not be transformed. The reality has happened in your spirit. That small circle there has the life of God. That small circle there, you know, has everything, that small circle, but it has to rise out of that small circle and then flow into the next circle, which is your mind. Then when your mind is renewed, it flows into your body. Do you understand? Then it influences the outside. So it begins first from the spirit. When it comes to prosperity, some folks are trying to change the outside. You know, let me look good and dress well. Let me, you know, but inside they've not come into a revelation of who they are and how blessed they are in Christ, even if there's no food on the table, no money in the bank. That revelation, when it influences your mind, it affects your circumstances. Many of us are trying to live from outside in. No, you live from inside out. So Proverbs chapter 4 and the 23rd verse. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. Above all, you guard your heart with all diligence. Why? out of your heart will flow the forces of life. Out of it, something from within. Oh, but I need health. I need health. If you allow the life of Christ within to find expression by renewing your mind, it will flow. It will flow. It will flow. All right? Oh, but I need protection. I need protection. Things are not safe. People are being hurt. People are being harmed. I need to be safe. Safety is within. You guard your heart. You guard. You build safety within you by renewing your mind. That's how you do it. By renewing your mind. Oh, there's a virus. Do we cover our eyes? Do we cover our nose? Do we do all the things you know to do on the outside? But safety eventually is from within. From within. There are people who've been doubly vaccinated and they still died of COVID. How do you explain all of that? There's confusion in the science world and the politics and everything put together. But do all you want to do. It's fine. But at the end of the day, the substance of your life is from within. So let me talk to you, this you, this recreated spirit you, of the three parts of man, spirit, soul, body, it's the spirit right now that has been recreated. All right? The spirit right now is recreated. So when the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not he will be, not he might be. He is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. This verse is totally accurate about the spirit. All things are gone. Passed away. Gone. Passed away. All things are new. Nobody goes into, you know, to a naming ceremony or to the hostel where a woman just gave birth, you know, and then you meet the lady who just gave birth and then you say, oh, you know, oh, nice looking baby. I wondered what kind of life the baby lived in the past. Someone might hit you out of that hospital. Because that baby never had a funny life in the past. Do you understand that? No past. So for the new creature, the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. So you go to church, assuming like me, you got born again in a church service. I mean, I know people who got born again outside. I've had to get people born again in a room, in a place. And, you know, hey. Your hair didn't change. Your height didn't change. Nothing changed about you. Nothing changed about you. But what happened to you? A new being was born. Hallelujah. In Ezekiel chapter 36, and you need to see this. Ezekiel 36. Glory to God. Ezekiel 36 from 26. Ezekiel chapter 36 and then the 26th verse. I really want to read this out. All right. Thank you. Let me see. Do I do 20? All right. We could do 25. Let's do 25 into 26. Ezekiel 36, 25 into 26. Then will I sprinkle clean water on you from 25. All right. And you will be clean. Watch this. From all your filthiness and from all your idols, I will cleanse you. Hallelujah. I will sprinkle clean water on you. You will be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols. I will cleanse you. 26. A new heart also will I give unto you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And it's amazing. I mean, alarming how that many Christians pray this as a prayer. Oh God, give me a new heart. Oh God, give me a new heart. This is not a prayer. This is what happens when you get born again. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. Hallelujah. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh. 27. And I will put my spirit within you. And I will make you walk in my statutes and you will keep my commandments and do them. I will, 27 again, put my spirit within you, make you walk in my statutes and you will keep my judgment. God is saying he will do it. The moment you receive the life of Christ, whew, a new spirit is born in you. The same eyes, the same hairstyle, Nothing changed. Now I know there are instances where people got born again and then there was some miracle, healing and everything that happened to them. Usually they seem to be the exception, not the rule. But for every person that is born again, everyone, for everyone born again, this is your experience. Old things are passed away. A new spirit is in me. So we're going to spend the next few minutes talking about what has happened to your spirit, who you are, this new spirit of yours. Could you say where you are? All right. The day I got born again, a new spirit got into me. A new spirit. Stony heart has been taken away from me. Maybe you feel, oh, but I'm stubborn. God has spoken to me 5 times. I didn't listen to what he was going to do. Ah, God, take away stony heart. You don't have a stony heart. God is not confused. You don't have a stony heart. You cannot use your experience to judge the word of God. What's happening to you is just yield to the spirit. You don't have a stony heart. He took away the stony heart from you. You have a new spirit. You're a new creature. All you need, we'll deal with that, is to now let your mind, get this, catch up with what happened. Remember those 3 circles? The thing that has happened in that innermost circle has to flow into the mid circle, which is your mind. Then it flows out. So much has been unlocked into that innermost circle. Many believers leave and die without unleashing divinity within them. Oh, but the days have come. Hallelujah. Well, we'll give attention to the word of God more and more and more and more and more. We give attention to the word, to living the word, to ingesting the word. We'll give attention to it. Our minds being renewed and then our transformation will find mighty expression. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. So this is our life. This is how we're expected to live. It's who we are. All right. And then it's how we live. Let me pick this next point. I want to talk about the spirit. Yeah. You know, my mind is going to, you know, remember in Romans 8 where the Bible says that the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of sons of God. You know, the sons, the mature ones. All right. But not now. I'm going there, but not now. So who is this spirit of yours? Who is this? Yeah, thank you. Who is this new man? All right. He's the recreated one. He's eternal. A new spirit is in him. The spirit, the recreated spirit is fearless. You, I'm talking to you. You, yes, you. You born again, you. You are fearless. You're fearless. I know you quote it. You know it. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if God has not given you the spirit of fear, it means you do not have the spirit of fear. Did you get that? We're talking about your spirit. Mm-mm. Not your experiences now. Not your experiences, your spirit. God has not given you the spirit of fear. You don't have it. Check your spirit. How do you check? You check by checking the word. Have you ever seen anyone stand in front of a mirror trying to get dressed? Maybe a lady going for a party or a guy going for a party or a business meeting or something. And then the person stands there arguing with the mirror. So the mirror says his tie isn't okay or her makeup, you know, she needs to blush up, you know, something, pat it up, something. And then she goes, no, my eyes are okay. My face is okay. Oh, my eyelashes okay. Oh, my lips are fine. Everything about, oh, my tie, good. And then the mirror shows you something's wrong. Something's out of place. I go, no. You know, it sounds awkward. Nobody argues with the mirror. Don't argue with the word. Because as mirror is to the natural man, so is the word of God to you. This is your mirror. James tells us that, all right? That you look into the perfect law of liberty. Paul says, we all behold the glory of God. So you look into that mirror. This is your mirror. And then the word of God says you do not have the spirit of fear. But I'm afraid that's why we're learning spirit, soul, and body. There is no fear in your spirit. The fear is up in your soul. There's no fear in your spirit. God has not given you, meaning you do not have the spirit of fear. Don't forget, a new spirit he put within you. That new spirit is fearless. But I'm afraid things might go wrong. The more you feed on that, the more it grows in you, but there's still no iota of fear in your spirit. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. It's like peace. Oh God, give me peace. Oh God, give me peace. No. The way you don't pray for love, you really don't pray for peace. All right? No. Someone say, yeah. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, all right, the Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit which you have received. Romans 5:5. The love of God, all right? Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. So the same way Paul just told Timothy, God hasn't given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, sound mind. So I don't have fear. What I have is power, love, sound mind. I have love. Oh, I hate this person and I hate that person. Oh God, I'm not supposed to hate people. Oh God, give me love. Oh God, give me love. He's not going to give you love because he has given you love. God hasn't given me spirit of fear. So you have to tell yourself, I'm not supposed to hate. This is application now. I'm not supposed to hate. Mm-mm. I shouldn't find difficult to forgive. Mm-mm. Because I have love. I have love. I have love. Not, oh God, give me love. No, you don't ask for what has been given. All right. Thank you. 2 Timothy 1:7 again. For God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power. He didn't say we have it. Oh, come on. Look at it. But God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, meaning he has given you the spirit of power. He has given you the spirit of love, and he has given you the spirit of a sound mind. So I have power. I have love, and then I have a sound mind. Did you get that? I have power. I have, because this is what we're going to do. That small circle has power, spirit. That teeny circle now is not small just because we drew it in that innermost part. All right. It's the innermost circle, your spirit. Your spirit is big. All right. Your spirit is big. It's big. All right. Anything that has capacity to receive God is big. So your spirit is big. We're just drawing circles. All right. So that innermost circle has power. That innermost circle has love. That innermost circle has a sound mind. In that innermost circle, there is no fear. Mm-mm. No fear. Where then is fear? Fear coming from the external circle gets into the soul. Fear can never get into the spirit. Your spirit is not wired for it. You understand that? Not wired for it. Bible says you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You have a spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. You don't have a spirit of bondage. You don't have it. Paul said it to the Romans, and then he said it, you know, when he was writing to the Galatians. Thank you. Romans 8:15. We have not received the spirit of fear. We don't have it. We don't have fear. We don't. But we have a spirit of adoption. There's a new spirit I have. Hallelujah. It's a spirit of sonship. It's a spirit of the house. I'm not a stranger. I'm not a foreigner. I'm in this house. This is my home. So God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. Amen. So in Romans 5:5, all right? Also about peace, praying about peace. In Romans 5:5, Bible says there that hope makes not ashamed because, all right, hope makes not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God will be. Please follow the words there, all right? Hope makes not ashamed because the love of God will be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. No, you know that's not what he said. Has been. So when you say, God, give me love. No, no, no. Can I show you Philemon verse 6? It will help us. Philemon and verse 6. Philemon verse 6. Philemon verse 6. So guys, are we wording up? Are we wording up? Are we wording up? Praise God. Amen. All right. Okay. Thank you. So, praise God. So Philemon verse 6 says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. The communication of your faith. So this is the key here. When you learn something like we're learning now, the key is this, acknowledge it. It says again that the communication of your faith may be effectual by the what? acknowledging of every good thing that is where? In you, where? In Christ. So you don't say, well, I get angry easily. That's just me. That's just how I am. Excuse me. That's you acknowledging the wrong stuff. It says acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. So if you do get angry easily, realize that this, I mean, it's obviously anyway that that's what you do. Now use this to neutralize that. That in the name of Jesus, I choose to acknowledge. All right. For some, you know, when you teach this, they say, oh, isn't it denial? No. You don't break a law. Watch this. But you can use a law, another law, and superimpose it. For instance, there's a law of gravity. You all know if we jump up, we come down. Gravity. But then there's a big metal called a plane that carries like passengers from 2 till like what? 300, 400 and something. And it breaks the law of gravity. It doesn't deny the law of gravity, but it institutes another law, the law of aerodynamics. Are you getting that? So there is a law and then there's another law. You bring another law, you superimpose. The same way Romans tells us there is a law of the spirit of life. There's the law of sin and death. So sin and death is all over. So hatred, wickedness, they're all in that sin, you know, law of sin and death. But you and I have the law of life. And with the law of life, we can superimpose that law of life over it. So there's the law that is at work. And I'm using the word law not as Moses' law, but principle that there's a culture, a government, a system at work in the new creation. To unlock it, Philemon again, by acknowledging every good thing that is in you. Acknowledge it. Don't say, I just want to be real. I'm afraid. Yes, you are afraid, but we're learning spirit, soul, body so that you can know where the fear is. The fear is not in your spirit. So it says, acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ. Fear is not in you in Christ. Fear is not in Christ. So fear is not in the you that is in Christ. Fear is in your soul. Fear is in your mind. So you spend time acknowledging. So, you know, someone is saying, oh, why do we find it difficult to walk in love? Because we need to renew the mind. Spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. Wherever the mind tilts, all right, is where the decision it seems final, but time. So when your mind begins to tilt more to walk in love, it becomes a lot more easier to walk in love. When your mind begins to tilt more to the senses, I know I should forgive, but imagine what they did. I know I should forgive, but imagine how they treated me. I know I should forgive, but see what she did. I know I should forgive, but see what he did. God, you know I'm supposed to forgive. Me, I know you know I'm supposed to forgive. But God, you too, you know that the thing they did. So the more you focus on the thing they did, the thing he did, the thing she did, you will also be realizing it will be more difficult to walk in love. And you are the one that will keep making it difficult because you will keep meditating on what they did. All right? And the more your mind is full of it and full of it and full of it, it will be difficult to go otherwise. And the more you meditate on love work, forgive even as Christ forgave you. Forgive even as Christ forgave you. Forgive even as Christ forgave you. This anger, you find it coming down. It just comes down. It just comes down. Then you'll be the one saying, no, it shouldn't come down. It must go up. I must be angry. It must happen again. You'll be the one doing that because it has to go down. It has to go down. All right. So there is no fear in your spirit, man. It's only love. Would enter this a bit better tomorrow. The character of the new creation. All right. The personality of new creation. All right. But it's peace and I want to deal with it. So the same way God gave you love, Galatians chapter 3 now, all right, Paul is now talking about the fruit of Galatians 5, all right, forgive me. Paul is now talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And he begins in Galatians 5 and he needs to explain the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit. And he wants to explain that to us. He's going somewhere. And he didn't say the fruit of his spirits are. He He said the fruit of the Spirit is. So if the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, that means the day love was shed abroad in your heart, all of the fruit was in your heart. All right? Because he's the branch. I mean, he's the vine. We are the branch. So if we're going to have fruit that we're bearing, we're only going to bear that fruit because of our connection to him. So we're going to bear love and joy and peace. We're going to bear them as fruit because of our connection. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You don't pray for love. You don't pray for joy. You don't pray for peace. You don't pray for faith. No, it's the fruit of the Spirit. You don't pray about the fruit. You cultivate the fruit. You understand that? Let me stay on peace so that at least we can end it on that. Or if we touch something else, before someone feels, no, relax. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, all right, says he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts him. It's not prayer. It's action and reaction. God will keep in perfect peace the person whose mind, and I told you that second circle, your soul has a lot to play. So if your soul tilts to the word of God, then you get the results from the word. If your soul tilts to circumstances, there's trouble. There's trouble out there. So if you feed a lot from out there, the trouble out there will get to you. If you see what's happening out there, we're not denying what's out there, but we keep our mind. Your spirit is already with God. Your spirit and God, they are united, but your mind, where your mind tilts to is where the divider is. So see here, the mind has a major role to play in your walking in peace. God says, oh, pray for me. I need peace. You need to also keep your mind on God. People don't want to do the hard work. You know, they don't want to. You know, we want it to be easy. You don't want to put in the work. You say, no, just pray that God will give me peace. Now, are there instances where you minister the peace of God by the Spirit of people? Yes, there are. All right? But that's where everybody wants. It's like laying hands and everybody gets healed. And that's, we all just want to say, minister to me, I need peace. Minister to me, peace. It doesn't always work that way. It's in you. Love is in you. Joy, I mean, when James was going to write in James 1, he said, count it all joy when you walk into darkness. And Paul said, rejoice. Again, I say, he didn't say, oh, pray for joy. Now, these things can abound, okay? But the fruit, the seed of it is in you, all right? So, joy is in you. Love is in you. It's in you. Now, let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and the 6th verse. You see something again about peace. Philippians 4 verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. So you recreated human spirit. You're perfect. You're holy. You're righteous. We're going to deal with all that. And like I said, for some of you, it's a refresher. But let's word up. It's true. The situation in the country is getting at me so much. The things happening all around. It's getting to me. I mean, and if you follow news happening in different countries, there are different things happening everywhere. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. All right. Let's do the Amplified Classic here. Amplified Classic. Yep. Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. It says, don't fret or have any anxiety about anything. Did you get that? Don't fret. It's a command. Oh, God, I need peace. Mm-mm, you don't fret. If you remember, this is a classic instruction. An angel shows up. He says, fear not. Jesus is walking on water. I get to tell people Jesus had an opportunity to scare them. He could have just gone, ooh, ooh, because they already thought it was a ghost. And then he just comes, ooh, Peter, Andrew, ooh. And these guys would have been jumping into the water. But fear is not of us. Fear is not of the kingdom. Fear not. So when he saw that they were being afraid, it is I, be not afraid. He stopped the fear. People like April Fool pranks. No, stop the fear. Don't do it. Don't give room for it. Stop it. No, it's not of us. It doesn't belong to our kingdom. So do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request with thanksgiving. I mean, I'm afraid they're telling me to still thank God because you must switch to God's direction. With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. All right, we're going to look at 7 and 8 quickly. All right, verse 7, and then we'll do verse 8. So he's saying, don't be afraid, all right? So I want you to see verse 7. this gets interesting. Watch this. And the peace of God. So it starts with, don't be afraid. Don't fret. Don't be anxious. Pray with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will be yours, all right? That tranquil state of soul and its salvation through Christ. I'm fighting the whole thing, all right? And so fearing nothing from God and being content with earthly, you know, lot of whatsoever sort, that is peace. Watch this, where what I like about the Amplified, this last part here. Okay, so pick the first part, skip everything in parentheses, connect to the last part. And the peace of God, we skip all the things in the parentheses, all right? Which transcends all understanding, will garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You began by being afraid. He says, don't fear. Pray about this thing. Be in thanksgiving about this thing. The peace will be unlocked. Did you get that? The peace will be unlocked. Don't fear. Peace. So peace is not the absence of danger. It's that assurance and confidence and revelation from within. So there could be trouble outside, peace within. Did you get that? Trouble outside, peace within. Why? God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. In you, there's soundness, not fear. In you, there's soundness. In you, there's peace. In you, there's joy. Joy. It means you could decide now. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. So I say, how could you do that? Because it's joy inside me. I'm not faking it. That's joy in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When we find ourselves slipping into sadness, it could bring yourself back. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Has this blessed anybody? Anybody blessed? Blessed, 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 blessed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we got to end. We have 4 minutes left. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Christ be my doctrine, amen. I'm trying to read a question that was posted. Growing in spirit. How does one speak to ensure the church's eyes open? All right. When you have a revelation of God's word, when God reveals things to you, which happened when most of us are growing up too, we taught things and we're called rebels. A fellowship on campus back then, you know, blacklisted myself and my friends, you know, just blacklisted other than, you know, and what were we teaching? And what we taught then, a lot of people, you know, have been teaching in the last like couple of years and all of that. But what you do is you don't, go over and disrespect someone's house. If the leadership is not teaching it, pray Ephesians 1, that the eyes of the understanding be enlightened. Do your best to teach within the capacity you have. But, you know, don't, maybe they make you house fellowship coordinator. They send a house fellowship outline. You don't like it. You don't believe in it. You know, so I'm going to teach my own stuff. No, the church was the one that handed that house fellowship over to you. So it will be an abuse of the privilege they gave you. If you don't agree with it, then step down from being a house fellowship coordinator, for example. You don't say, well, I'm house fellowship coordinator here. I'm going to use this outline. No, if you are the founder of the ministry, you could do all of that, but you don't get, you know, if it doesn't align, eventually pray about it. If God says stay there, it means there might be something he needs you to learn there. You stay. Hold on. There will be a season for all of that. If God releases you, find your way peaceably. Follow peace with all men as much as it lies within your power. That's me putting two things Paul said together. All right. Praise God. So this is Word Up. All right. Thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for being here. This is Word Up. It's 2 hours of teaching. This Saturday today, and then tomorrow, for everybody who registered, the audio will be available maybe tomorrow, maybe Monday. All right, but the audio will be available. We'll send it all in an email, maybe on Monday and all of that. I just want you to understand our commitment to the word. This is totally free. You could share the link whenever the announcements come. You could share the link today for someone to be part of it tomorrow. No strings attached, totally free. This is our commitment to be a blessing to the body of Christ and add to what Jesus is doing in these last days. And I trust that as you get to fellowship more and more with me on this platform, we're going to do so much for God. There'll be topics we'll be dealing with. This will come up like every 2 weeks. There'll be topics to deal with, things to look at. If you'd allow me, I could, you know, send materials, whatever it is that could bless you. You could send me an email too. All right. wordoptoday@gmail.com. You could please send an email. Maybe you have questions. You might want to post certain questions you have today and that you didn't, you couldn't quite get to ask. And then if you feel okay, you might want me to add that to what I would address tomorrow. wordoptoday@gmail.com. I would love to see your questions or just feedback, whatever it is that blessed you. All right. So we would always love to keep the time again. Yeah. So thank you for joining in. Praise God. Can we just join our faith together? Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. Because revelation flows freely. It flows unhindered and uninterrupted. Thank you. Because our eyes of understanding are enlightened again and again. We give you praise for this mighty privilege to share, to teach, to be enlightened by your spirit. Thank you. Thank you. Because we bear fruit thereby in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. So thank you, everybody. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Have a great evening, great night, great afternoon, great midnight, to everyone. And then we'll see you tomorrow. All right. Bye.